The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
So in March, only the start of the crisis for the economy, if we leave aside the health issue for the moment, the government's tax take came in over €800 million below what it had expected and budgeted for. But in addition to that, it ended up having to spend €1 billion more than expected because of expenditure on health and social protection. Dan O'Brien is chief economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs, columnist with independent newspapers. Dan, effectively, have 8 years of economic recovery blown up in about 2 weeks?
I think that's not an unfair way of putting it, Matt. What we saw today was shocking, not unexpected, but shocking nonetheless. The number of people depending on welfare benefits, jobless welfare benefits, went past 500,000. Now, to put that in context, more has happened in that area in 3 weeks than happened in 3 years during the property crash. And that property crash was an extremely deep recession. So it took about 3 years for unemployment, or at least unemployment benefits, the numbers on unemployment benefits to top out at 460,000. It's taken just a couple of weeks for people on benefits to move over the 500,000 mark. So it is an absolutely unprecedented economic event.
Is there at least some maybe small consolation in the fact that a couple of 100,000 of those are people who've retained their jobs, that effectively the government is providing support for them to remain in their jobs so that hopefully when this crisis ends, they can return to normality?
Well, look, I would still hold out some hope that if the virus can be contained over the next few weeks, 4, 5, 6 weeks, that it would be possible to get the economy back up and running by the summer. And the big difference between now and the property crash is that the property crash was a massive bubble that nobody could pump up again. It you know, all of those jobs in construction at that time, they were always going to disappear. The difference, we go into this unprecedented shock with a fundamentally good economy. We're competitive. We were in a sweet spot. We hadn't lost our competitiveness, but we had got close to full employment. We go into this in a good place, which means that if as many companies as possible can stay in business during this shutdown period, and if they can restart restart as soon as possible, then there is still a hope that we can this can be a really sharp shock that we can bounce out of quickly. That is the hope. It may not materialise, but at least there is still hope that that can happen.
Conal McQuillan, as chief economist with Davy, do you share that hope that we could have what they call a V-shaped recovery, that very, very quickly we'll bounce off the bottom, and if the virus goes away, we'll get back to almost where we were?
Well, I certainly share the hope that that is correct and that is what happens. I suppose the issue which markets and investors are looking at is, are there going to be kind of second round effects? And, you know, around the globe, you know, are companies going to get into cash flow issues? Is there going to be the equity injections from government, the airline sector clearly to the fore there? But it's also something that could affect small and medium enterprises in Ireland. I think that's why you're seeing the policies targeted at, you know, giving people as much flexibility as possible in terms of paying their today's VAT receipts are depressed by the fact that revenue have given companies a deferral there. And the banks will allow you to defer your payments on bank debt. We also have business rates being deferred. So I suppose this is all about keeping companies alive through what's hopefully a temporary period. But having said that, you know, that we may see these second-round effects where investment and employment expansion plans are put off. You know, if you look at the, say, tourism sector, do we really believe that even if the virus is contained relatively quickly, that we'll see tourism bounce back? I'm not so sure. So, you know, I think there will be a slowdown that probably persists in some form, at least into the summer months. And really, probably the best case scenario is that by the end of the year, we're starting to get back to normal.
It could take that long. And is there also the likelihood, Conal, that whatever measures the government have put in place to act as supports for businesses, such as saying, look, just declare your VAT, declare your taxes now, and we'll collect them later, but that they're going to have to be extended for many more months rather than just this quarter?
Well, I think, that will depend on the virus itself. I think, you know, if you look at the measures they brought in terms of welfare spending, in terms of the wage subsidy, their plan for 12 weeks, I think there's certainly a possibility that they might have to be extended a little bit further. In terms of businesses, we have to remember we've had 10 years of deleveraging companies getting rid of debt. Over half of SMEs now, we think, have no bank debt whatsoever. So in terms of supporting SMEs, I think what's been kind of missing or where we've kind of been a little bit different is in terms of credit guarantees on lending to businesses. And the concern would be that individual bank managers maybe will be still risk averse, worried about lending to companies that may be in trouble. So does the government have a role to step in there and provide guarantees to ensure that flow of working capital continues? That's obviously a very thorny area. But, there has been a massive correction in the amount of borrowing that Irish SMEs have done. And, you look at things like, say, the reduction in the countercyclical capital buffer for the banks. That frees up about $1 billion of capital just put out there into the Irish economy and help SMEs through this period. But I suppose, there is an element of learning by doing at the moment. We just don't know how severe the shock is going to be, how long the restrictions from the virus are going to last.
Indeed, we don't. Dan O'Brien, a lot of people, I think, are concerned that all the money that the government spends to try and stabilise the situation is money that is going to have to be borrowed, and that eventually that we'll all be asked to pay for it by way of higher taxes, and we could be back to the age of austerity again. How likely is that?
Well, ultimately, governments have to borrow money at times like this. It's an emergency. It's absolutely right that they do, and that we worry about the bill later on. That's not to say that we, don't think about value for money or risks, but the correct thing in an emergency for governments to do is to step in and deal massively with the emergency and also attempt to support demand in the economy so that the economy doesn't collapse even more precipitously than it's currently doing. And one of the positive aspects, the only EU institution that really matters in this crisis is the European Central Bank, and ultimately it is printing money effectively. That's the right thing to do in an emergency, and that is allowing governments in the Eurozone to borrow money for next to nothing, as is currently the case for the Irish government, and spend that money, and we worry about the bill after the emergency.
But does that mean that potentially we could be given decades to repay this additional borrowing so that it wouldn't impact any further on the lifestyles of the people of the country, that we wouldn't have austerity again, where we would have all sorts of services cut and we'd have even higher taxes than we're currently paying?
I don't know is the honest answer, Matt. I don't know what the post-COVID world is going to look like. A lot is changing by the hour. How things are going to look on the other side of this is very, very uncertain.
How should they look, in your view, though? What should be done in that situation by the ECB and the European Union and by member states?
Well, a couple of weeks ago when it was uncertain what the ECB was going to do, I argued that what Japan is the model for developed countries now, and that is the least bad option. In other words, what Japan has done over recent decades is it is the highest level of borrowing relative to its economy in the world, the highest level of government borrowing, and its central bank has bought up that. Now, you don't have to be an economist to see that a one-party government lending money to another party of government is not a good thing, and it carries all sorts of risks. But it doesn't mean that we're all going to become like Germany in the 30s and Zimbabwe more recently. It can hopefully be managed, and that may be the best outcome. But again, as I say, this is what we're going through now. If it persists, will be much worse than Japan's very deep recession that led its central bank to do difficult things. So
okay.
It's very difficult to know how this was going to pan out.
One last question for you, Dan, before I go back to Conal for one further one. In relation to Europe, the European Union, would you have any fear of something that perhaps we're not really focusing on, but that could be a splintering of the European Union, in that the Germans and the Dutch seem completely against what a lot of other countries want, like the Italians and the Spanish, when it comes to things like the creation of Eurobonds?
Major north-south division in Europe on economic policy and an east-west division on democracy that's been brought to a head by events in Hungary. The European Union, like all political structures, is being brought under massive strain. This is when you have a shock like this, all institutions are affected, and the EU is under big strain because of this. And it's got, it's a dual strain. It's east-west and north-south. So this is, you know, very uncharted territory, and we don't know how it's going to pan out.
Dan O'Brien, thank you very much from the Institute of International and European Affairs for being with us. A final one to you, Conal McQuilla, Chief Economist with Davy. I was speaking to a friend yesterday who was saying that Hong Kong, when it had SARS in 2002, had the lockdown even more strict than the one we're having now, and the economy bounced back very quickly afterwards. But could it be that it's going to be far more difficult now that this is a global phenomenon, that so many countries are suffering, that the crisis of confidence means that it's going to take an awful lot longer for things to recover?
Well, look, I think we need to remember there's a lot of talk about a fiscal stimulus here in Ireland. And I think what that should be aimed for is getting companies and households through this difficult period. But a fiscal stimulus on its own is not going to restore the Irish economy back to where it was. We need the global economy to recover. We're an export-led country. If the global economy doesn't do well, it's pretty clear that Ireland won't be doing well either. Now, I think it ultimately just comes down to the virus and, you know, do the other economies in the United States, Europe, manage to get through this period? You spoke about confidence. I think confidence will come from the virus being contained and companies rebounding. You know, if you think, say, the sectors like retail, like publicans, for example, if the social restrictions are lifted in the morning, I think you see a very large increase in employment, a very large increase in spending. So, I mean, we can get a substantial rebound if the restrictions are lifted. But it's the sectors where, you know, you've got these cash flow issues in which there may be financial restraints, where people have become much more cautious, things like tourism, for example, where it may take a little bit longer for recovery. There's obviously a big debate about the airline sector and, you know, its cash position. So I think we can get a V-shaped recovery if the virus is contained, but for some sectors, it'll be a little bit more difficult.
Thank you very much for being with us, Conal McQuilla of Davy. We had Dan O'Brien before that.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.